Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
You may have heard of a low intervention birth in the hospital, but what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? You are going to hear that in today's short story time episode of the podcast. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. If you're having a baby in the hospital, you are giving birth in a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a practicing board certified OBGYN who's had the privilege of helping well over 1,000 babies into this world. I've been a doctor for over 20 years, and I'm here to help you take back your power, advocate for yourself, and have the beautiful pregnancy and birth that you deserve. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Whether it's your first time listening or you've been here before, I'm so glad you're spending some time with me today. In these shorter episodes, I do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And in this short episode, and they are released on Thursdays, I'm doing a little bit of story time, sharing how a low intervention hospital birth unfolded under my care. Now, before we get into the story, real quick, this episode is being released about a week before Black Friday comes up. I'm having an awesome Black Friday sale on the birth preparation course. And the best way for you to know so you don't miss it is to hop on my email list. Yes, hop on my email list, drnicolerankins.com/email. And this is not the only reason to be on my email list. You also get lots of great information on my email list. I send a weekly email with tips and tricks and information. And it's just a nice way to get information, not have to be on social media, things like that. Great way for us to stay in touch. Great way for you to know about all of the amazing things and sales that I have from time to time. So hop onto my email list, drnicolerankins.com/email. I do not sell any information or anything like that. It's just the best way for us to stay in contact. Okay, so let's talk about this low intervention hospital birth. So what I'm going to do is tell you the story and how it happened, and then I'm going to go back and make some comments along the way. So first, the big overview of the story. We had a patient. She came to the hospital around 8 a.m. in the morning. It was her first baby, and she was just past 40 weeks. I checked her cervix with her permission, and I'm going to say more about that in a minute, and she was 4 centimeters. She got admitted to the hospital, and I asked her about her preferences for her birth. She wanted a low intervention birth. She had a birth plan done, which I reviewed with her and her partner. Also, more on that to come. She had a saline lock that was placed. A saline lock is when the IV is placed, but it's not connected to anything. It's just there if needed. During her labor, she had intermittent monitoring, meaning she wasn't strapped to the monitor all the time. The baby wasn't being monitored continuously during her labor. Her nurse offered her multiple techniques for managing pain, offered the shower, offered the tub, encouraged her to use the birth ball, to walk out in the hospital, do the mile circuit, which is like a specific set of movements and walking. During her labor, she ate and drank as she desired. She was coping really beautifully with her contractions, and we could see based on how she looked and feel based on how her belly felt that her contractions were getting closer and more intense. And I offered to check her cervix again at 8 p.m. Yes, that is correct. I did not offer to check her cervix for 12 hours. At that time, she did want to be checked. And at that point, she was 6 centimeters. And it may not sound like that was a huge change from 4 centimeters to 6 centimeters, but 6 centimeters is the start of transition into active labor. So this was again around 8 p.m. And I explained that she was transitioning into active labor. This was great news, and really to just let us know when she felt like she had the urge to push. Her water broke at some point. I can't remember what time her water broke, but she started pushing at 11:30. So just 3.5 hours after she was 6 centimeters, okay? She pushed in the position she felt most comfortable, which happened to be sitting up in bed and slightly reclined. And how she felt comfortable, which was no counting. We used warm compresses and olive oil, and she gave birth shortly after midnight. So pushed for just over half an hour. She brought her baby up to her chest for immediate skin-to-skin contact. There was delayed cord clamping. She did have a small vaginal tear that required stitches, and I repaired that using lidocaine to numb the area first. So what are your thoughts on that? I would love to hear what you think after hearing that low intervention birth. You can always reach out to me. My DMs are open on Instagram, but I want to go back and make a few comments about the story. So I said that I checked her cervix with permission. And what I mean by with permission is this. With permission means I say, is it okay for me to check your cervix? So I'm gonna keep it real with you. Women's peak reproductive years are between late teens and late 20s. Some research indicates that an ideal first pregnancy is at age 23. Well, that just doesn't realistically line up with most people's timelines. I was barely getting started with life at 23, much less thinking about having children. And that's where Ritual comes in. Their 3-in-1 fertility support was designed in partnership with an OBGYN and a fertility specialist. And it uses clinically studied ingredients and clinically studied dosages to support conception outcomes. As an OBGYN, I trust Ritual products because they take quality seriously. Their fertility support is made traceable, received the Clean Label Project Purity Award. It's sugar-free, vegan, gluten, soy, and major allergen-free without synthetic colorants. And it has those 3 clinically studied ingredients, including myo-inositol, which helps support egg health, promotes normal ovulation cycles, helps support healthy hormone levels. NAC provides antioxidant support and helps support ovarian health. And CoQ10 helps support follicular health and cellular energy production. Now, for even more pre-pregnancy support, you can bundle the fertility support with Ritual's essential prenatal multivitamin. That multivitamin has omega-3 DHA, folate, iron, and more to support key nutrient needs for preconception. So bring the fertility science back to your bedroom with 3-in-1 fertility support from Ritual. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off. So often in medicine, we think permission means something like this. Hey, it's Dr. Rankins. I'm here to check your cervix. Just put your ankles together. Let your legs flop out to the side. You're going to feel a little bit of pressure in my 2 fingers. So although in that circumstance, I sounded nice, I did not at any point ask for permission. So it should look more like this. Hey, I know you're here for us to check to see if you're in labor. Is it okay if I check your cervix? Then I actually pause and wait for her to answer the question, okay? Most people say yes, sometimes people say no. If someone says no, then I say, okay, and we move on, okay? Like, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Now, I will say that for physicians, checking the cervix is our best way in terms of what we're taught in order to know that labor is progressing. But if, for example, your water's broken and you don't want to have your cervix checked, you don't have to. But we should ask permission every single time before your cervix is checked. All right, when I say I reviewed her birth plan, I sat down, I read it, we talked through the birth plan. That just sets the stage nicely for them to know that we're all on the same page about the things that they want for their birth that we can absolutely support and point out any things that aren't safe for us to support if that is the case. Okay. So sit down, actually look through the birth plan, not just take it and stick it in the chart, but actually read it, sit down, and I go over it in front of the birthing woman, person, and their partner. Now, that saline lock was placed just in case. Some people opt not to get a saline lock, which is your choice. I do say you should get it if you are a hard stick. So if it's difficult for you to get blood, then I do recommend you get a saline lock because you don't want to be in an emergency where we're trying to give you fluids or blood in that rare instance and it's hard to do so. But some people opt not to get a saline lock. Intermittent monitoring. Baby is not on the monitor all the time. This is perfectly appropriate and safe for low-risk pregnancies. Not all hospitals will have protocols for intermittent monitoring, but it is perfectly safe, ACOG approved. You definitely want to do different things, movement, walking, getting out of the room to stimulate labor and move labor along, super duper important, and that's what she did. She also ate and drank as she pleased. We don't restrict eating and drinking for folks who don't have an epidural, and honestly, you're not going to eat a whole lot when you're in the active part of labor, so really you're going to eat mostly in the beginning. I do understand why we restrict people is because of something called aspiration. I've talked about this in other podcasts. I believe I have a short episode about this a few months back. But really, for low risk folks, you can eat and drink as you please. You will not be super hungry in the active part of labor. Once you get past 6 centimeters, you actually won't eat that much. So eat earlier, get that energy. Uterus is a muscle. Muscles need energy. We get energy from food. We also paid attention to the physical signs that she was progressing in labor. We looked at how her expressions changed. We felt her belly to feel how her contractions changed. We over rely sometimes on technology. Oh, how do the contractions look? That kind of thing. In order to tell if labor is progressing, we over rely on cervical exams. When you can physically see, when you pay attention to those signs that are there, that labor is progressing. Now, I didn't offer to check her cervix until 8 p.m. because that's when she started to look like she was laboring harder. If she wanted me to check her cervix before then, I certainly would have. It's not that I was opposed to checking it before 8, but from my perspective, I didn't feel like it needed to happen because things hadn't changed where she was physically different. And we only want to do those exams when it's going to impact the outcome or give us information that we need to know. The other thing that I want to point out, and that I did point out a bit, is please don't get discouraged. I said she was 4 centimeters when she came in, 6 centimeters 12 hours later. That first part up until 6 centimeters can take some time. That latent phase, early phase of labor can take some time. And then on the flip side, that later part from 6 centimeters to baby in her arms was like 4 hours. So don't be discouraged before 6 centimeters if it takes some time. That's just the natural course of labor. After 6 centimeters, things will start to go a lot faster. We also supported pushing in ways that she felt comfortable. And I want to say about that, we try different things, hands and knees on your side. Some people like to push on their back. You want to be open until you find what works best, and you won't know what's best until you try. Don't close yourself off to any particular method or type of pushing. And then, of course, we use things like warm compresses, olive oil. We do immediate skin to skin, delayed cord clamping. Those are standard things that we should do. Now, inside of the birth preparation course, I have a whole lesson on tips to have a successful unmedicated hospital birth. It is absolutely great material. And you can get the birth preparation course at an amazing, crazy discount for Black Friday. So be on the lookout for that. You can join my email list so you're notified at drnicolerankins.com/email. Okay, so that is it for this shorty episode. Again, let me know what you think. Hit me up on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. My DMs are open for questions. If you want me to answer something on an upcoming episode, then do let me know. And did I say subscribe to the podcast? If I didn't, please subscribe to the podcast. Also, leave me a review in Apple Podcasts. Those reviews are really, really important to helping the show grow. So I so appreciate it when you take the time to leave those reviews. I really, really, really do. So that's it for this episode. Come on back next week and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.